Hello, and welcome to Parking Thought, the show where we highlight the good in the world, from the extraordinary to the everyday. You're going to want to like and subscribe wherever you happen to find us. Curiosity meet gratitude. My name is Jacob, and I'm glad you're here today. In this edition, we're going to be talking to Brent, who's a good friend of mine from Canada, one of those friends you make on the internet. Brent, we're going to ask you to say hi in just a second, but as you do so, would you please explain to me how to pronounce your last name, because it is truly of French origin, and I have trouble with words of French origin. So, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Yeah, it's curious that you mentioned my last name, because I was thinking just earlier today, I was talking to someone in Barcelona, and he had a pretty tricky name. So mine, it's Brent Gervais, if you want the, that's kind of the English pronunciation of it, but if you want it with the French Canadian pronunciation, it would be Brent Gervais.
Gervais? Mm-hmm. Ugh, I don't know if I could do that. There's something about French origin words that always throws me off. Although tonight we were reading our scriptures with our family, and there at the end of one of the chapters that we're going to read, I think tomorrow, is a beautiful French word, which is totally abnormal for the general English translation of the text. And so it was kind of neat to have that put in there. But that is not this episode. So in this episode, we're going to be talking about an experience I had. Those of you guys who have been listening to the show pretty regularly know that I'm really excited that my parents came back from serving a successful mission in Alaska. And one of the things that Dad did because of financial situations, he just did some math and realized that there was no point in keeping two cars in his house, you know, sitting at his house while he was up in Alaska driving around one of the cars that they provided him on a mission. So one of his goals coming back was to buy a new car. And he had, you know, figured out which car he wanted and all the other stuff like that. So he's going into the Toyota dealership. This is in Utah, right? He's going into the Toyota dealership. He's made all the arrangements to pick up the car the morning after he flew in. So we met him at the airport, and then the next morning I drive him to the Toyota dealership, and the lady at the front desk, and you know the sort of person I'm talking about, right? They've hired her because she's upbeat and she's happy and she's there to greet people, and that's her job. And Dad shows up and says, "Hey, I'm supposed to meet so-and-so." And the lady says, "Oh, I think he's in a meeting right now." Right? And we were like, "Wait, what?" I mean, like, this appointment's been, my dad plans ahead, right, Brent? So he's been, you know, like, this has all been put together, you know, right? He was supposed to be there. This is supposed to be a quick transaction. Off we go, you know, Bob's your uncle. And instead the lady looks at him and says, "Yeah, he's in a meeting right now." Not exactly the best thing to say to my dad, you know, especially after flying, and the time zone difference meant that his body was on 2 hours earlier than, you know, Utah time. So that was not cool. Dad maintained his composure. But we were like, "Okay, well, would you get him out of the meeting so we could purchase the car?" And she's like, "Well, why don't you guys just sit there for a minute?" And I'm like, "Okay." So we go ahead and we sit there, and about 15 minutes later, the salesman shows up, or the guy who's going to finish the transaction shows up. And the first thing out of his mouth was, "Hey, sorry, guys, I slept in."
Whoa.
Right?
Oh, and, no.
Yeah. So I love your reaction. Thank you for being
so
on the show today. It is on a few different levels, right? So we tell lies. I mean, like, generally as human beings, we tell lies. We tell lies to ourselves, right? I still have a full head of hair, even though categorically I shave it all off and it's not there anymore, right? You know, like, I'm the best looking guy in the room, you know, like, I'm the smartest person. Like, we tell ourselves lies to help survive, you know, but sometimes when we, I mean, this young lady was trying to craft a response, but her response was one of those ones where it's like, okay, you could have picked something else, right? So Brent, what would have happened if instead she had said, "Huh, you know, that's not like him to not be here. Why don't you guys wait a minute, have a seat, grab some popcorn in the back. I will work on finding out what's going on. You don't have to worry about that." Because what she was trying to do is alleviate our concern or anxieties. And instead she ended up increasing them, and then really looking foolish at the end of it, you know, because she said, "Oh, he's in a meeting."
Like, man.
Come on, lady.
Yeah, you know what I find to be more helpful is, for example, what he did, which is to lead with honesty. I find in my own personal experience that gets you out of more trouble than it gets you into. Like, she was trying to fix the situation, but in the end made it worse. And so right. had she, and, for example, led with honesty the way that you described, it changes the entire situation.
Yeah, and you can, there's nothing wrong with not knowing an answer, but you've got to be able to communicate that you don't know an answer and help the other person through the process. I've found it really helpful when I've been, you know, the listeners on the show know we love the hashtag It's Okay to Be New, right? And Brent, I'm going to quiz you. Who is the queen of hashtag It's Okay to Be New in our community?
That's our good friend, Elle.
Right. So when Elle talks, I always hear that It's Okay to Be New, that stretch thing. She makes me feel so normal when I end up in those situations. And so, you know, when I find people in those situations in my environment, it's so comforting to be like, hey, let's figure this out together, right? Like, I had somebody last week who is, hey, Jacob, we're probably going to have to work remote. I'm not used to doing that. How do I do a whiteboard? And I was like, I don't know, but let's figure this out together. And so we found a way to do a whiteboard with our, you know, Office 365 subscription and built that in, and, you know, and was able to really practice and rehearse it. So that way he felt comfortable walking out of there. But how comforting is it when you can have somebody, you know, and kind of mentor you through that process of, oh yeah, let's work on this together. You don't have to know everything. Sometimes you fake it, right? But being willing to work with somebody else to get to the answer that they're after, I think it takes being able to listen to the questions that they're actually asking as well, in order to get to that point. Have you had any experiences like that?
I would say constantly. I mean, it's that approach of collaboration versus, like, in that professional setting, often it's oh, I'm supposed to look like I have everything in order, you know, like you mentioned, just kind of faking it. And I have found, man, it's always better to lean on the side of collaborating, even if you have to admit, you know, that you don't know the answer. That gets you so much further. So in terms of specific examples, I mean, I sort of run into that often in my photography work, because, for instance, if I show up, I don't know, at a mine here, and I've never really been underground in this specific mine, because mining photography is something I've gotten into with a friend of mine recently. But I'm really new at
Holy
that
cow,
concept.
No way.
Yeah. I'm really new at that concept of photographing mines and mining equipment and mining people and being underground and that kind of stuff. That's foreign to me, even though I've done photography for a really long time. So oftentimes I have to just say, well, I don't know what kind of equipment I need to go underground, even though I'm supposed to be the professional here, right? And so it's interesting when you kind of take that collaborative approach, I've found people actually get on your side and you get to the where you're trying to get much, much faster.
Well, and I think it requires a certain level of humility. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about humility being in a lot of different aspects, but recognizing that, hey, I want to do the job you expect me to do. I had that happen tonight with one of my coworkers. I was like, look, I've been working on this problem for weeks and I think I'm doing it wrong. You know, can you walk me through what you think this looks like? And so she took the time to do it. And I said, it's still not connecting. And then finally it did. And I was like, oh, you know, this was lots of mental hours, you know, that were dedicated to solving a problem a little differently. And the answer was right there. And I had all the core pieces because I had thought through all the other chunks. And so it felt really good at the end of that. But it was being able to be humble and say, I don't know this, you know. Okay, we've got to talk a little bit. This is going to be a little longer episode for those of you guys listening, because I'm actually going to ask Brent about some of his photography stuff. So I've done low light photography inside of caves and mines, and okay. I love it. It is some of my favorite work to do, especially if the background is static and you can do like painting the walls with different colored lights.
Nice. Right. Yes, and that's so fun.
20-second long exposures, you know, those sorts of things. So, yep. So when you're doing that, do you get to do any of those long exposure ones, or are they shorter and showing off equipment and people and stuff like that with just a dark background?
Yeah, well, as you know, underground is going to be pretty dark, and so often we get hired. I say we because I'm been asked by my friend James, who's a mining photographer. He specializes in mining photography. He and I have been collaborating recently, and he often gets asked to highlight something specific. You know, we get hired by some business to do something, either highlight their people, which is often the case, or highlight some equipment they're building. So we always have sort of a purpose. So it's less artistic in the sense of us just playing, but at the same time, it is really super technical, and we get to play in many ways to make things look their best. So it ends up being a really fascinating mixture of long exposures with the ambient light. But what we end up doing is tripoding the camera and taking sometimes up to 40 exposures of the same scene, because we end up specifically lighting certain sections of the people or the equipment. And so we may bring down 3 to 4 flashes, but in the photo, the end composite, there's maybe like 20 different light locations, but we only light up certain aspects of the photograph at a time, and then we blend it all together later. So it's kind of a really neat technical exercise, similar to the focus stacking that you were doing, but using light instead. So there's, a mixture of long exposure ambient stuff to capture some rocks and things, but lots of flashes going off in different locations for very specific reasons.
That is cool. So on your bucket list, if you ever make it to Krakow, Poland, right, they have the coolest salt mine to do photography in, and they have a full cathedral that's carved out of the salt, including an entire chandelier carved out of salt.
I've heard of this.
Yeah, like definitely. So I have an aunt and uncle who are preparing to go and do a European trip, and they're going to do the Paris and the this and that. And I said, if you get a chance, I know it's off the beaten path, but the cities I really enjoyed are the ones that were the Parises from, 70 years ago or 80 years ago, right? It was just, so Krakow, Bratislava, Budapest, are kind of like those three that I really enjoyed. And then Gdansk, right? So if you were to do north to south, you'd go Gdansk, Krakow, Bratislava, and Budapest. And hitting four of those is just, they're wonderful places to be. Really neat history and culture. And Krakow wasn't bombed during the war. So you have 500 years of history in like three city blocks. And it's a lot to see. It's really cool.
That's great advice.
So yeah, if you get there, it's good. Maybe, there'll be some photography gig out that way and you'll be good to go.
Well, let's make it happen.
So any listeners that want to fund a trip to Krakow, Poland for the two of us, we will gladly take your photos for you. And with that, let's wrap up this episode. This is the part where I tell you that the best way to say thank you for this particular episode is to share it with someone that you know. And if you're just joining us for this episode, because maybe we picked a title that was Googleable, right? Then we want to say thank you. And if you want to stick around for the long haul, we've curated the subscribe links over at parkingthought.com. Hit that subscribe button and you'll see all the things, YouTube, Spotify, Stitcher, all those things, or you can search for it in your app of choice. Remember, as we like to say in each episode, actually, let's see if Brent can do this. You've listened enough of my episodes. What is the challenge I leave at the end of every episode? You want to do it?
I'll do it on the next one.
All right. Too much of a quiz there.
No. Yeah, I'll do it on the next one. Oh, man. I'm embarrassed I don't know this.
No, it's totally fine, right? Hashtag, it's okay to be new. And we ask the audience to remember, in a world where you can choose to be anything, Why not choose to be grateful?